Welcome to Two Slant Trees, the podcast where a married couple learned to cope differently during social isolation while reading Brené Brown's The Gift of Imperfection together. This is episode 2, and today we'll be talking about how Brené defines courage, compassion, and connection as tools to help us to dig deep differently.
And it sounds like we're almost a real podcast. Like, we got it better, I think. Yeah. We might be getting the hang of this. Maybe when I edit this episode, I won't accidentally delete the last 5 minutes somehow, like I did with the last one.
How did that even happen?
I don't even know. Like, normally I'm really good with tech, but this, I feel like kind of like a boomer with it. I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just deleting things and I don't know how to fix it. I don't know.
So, Jess, so our audience, did you know our audience, I think, has grown from 3 people to 6? So we're actually growing like exponentially. Like the coronavirus, actually.
Uh-oh, hashtag too soon. Okay, I did know that. But you don't actually really listen to podcasts.
No, not really.
Not unless I make you do long drives, but I listen to a lot of them. And okay, so some podcasts, I'm just moving on quickly from that maybe...
The Corona cast.
The Corona.
Okay. Yeah.
That too soon.
We're going viral. That's all we're saying.
So, some podcasts like to take quotes from the comments and the ratings and stuff like that. So I think we should do that since we're going to pretend to be a...
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
we don't have any rating system yet because we're still not quite on iTunes, but people have been texting me, so...
Texting, direct text ratings.
Yeah, I'm actually getting like live texts from people as they're listening.
Oh, okay.
So one listener said, quote, I'm starting a campaign called More Babies for the Versteeg Family. So, Maria, campaign all you want. Maybe between you and my mom, you'll be able to collect enough money to afford a house cleaner until all of them move out. So that was,
that's
a bit of a sassy response.
I don't know how to process that.
So another listener said, oh my goodness, you are so hilarious. I'm laughing until my lungs hurt.
Hashtag Corona.
Uh-oh. Ba-dum-tsh. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, you did, because you wrote it down for me to say. Because you thought it was such a good joke. You wrote it
out. Touché.
Very touché. So if you can't see us right now, we're actually touching right now. That's what touché means, right?
Touché, yeah.
I don't know why you would say that. Anyways, enough chit-chat. So anyways, last episode, we talked about how we need to change how we dig deep. So according to Brené, I feel like we should call her Brené Brown.
I know,
it's just a first name, last name sort of name.
But Brené is kind of like Beyonce, right? It's like she can just have...
No, but some people have first name, last name names where you just have to say their whole name.
Okay, so
right?
She's...
Like you
now
can't just say their first name. It's Brené Brown.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, so...
Like, if it's disrespectful, like Justin Trudeau, right? If you call him just Justin, it's kind of...
You think of Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Maybe, so you should say the whole name. Anyways, so according to Brené Brown, the tools to dig deep differently are courage, compassion, and connection.
Yeah, and when I first read those words when I was reading the book, I just kind of skimmed over them and I was like, yeah, okay, nice words. But these are actually really super helpful tools to help us cope differently. Like... It actually gives us tracks to run on other than having to sit down at the end of the day and, like, watch Mark Wahlberg punch some bunch of guys on a movie while stress eating a Costco-sized bag of Doritos as a completely random example.
Yeah, that totally didn't happen, like, Sunday night.
Did not happen at all.
Yeah. Marky Mark, just my stress spirit animal.
Yeah, but it actually does require courage to step out of our bad habits and... It requires compassion for yourself and other people in the situation. And Brené Brown, she says it requires connection, but I'm kind of stumped at that part because I'm not good at that. Like, the connection part of it, I think. Because I just tend to, like, be like, I do it... Okay, I was going to say I do it self. And for those people who don't know me the way you do, my very first sentence... My first phrase as a kid was, I do itself. And that has kind of carried on into my entire life.
Yeah. Mirrored by, I often come and see her struggling and say, do you need a hand over there?
And I'm like,
because that's,
that's a farmer thing to say.
Yeah. Mainly in a mocking tone.
Yeah.
Because you don't. You're doing just fine. You're doing a great job.
Even though I'm struggling and I'm like, I do it. I do itself.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're talking about connection.
Yeah.
So you just find connection to be nebulous or unclear.
The connection relating to how you date, like how does it, you dig deep differently via connection.
Yeah. I guess for me, the line I would draw on that is, well, we did this, the LEAF program, I guess 3 years ago.
Yeah. So that stands for Leadership Evaluation and Formation.
Yeah. And one of the things that came out of that for me was for me to recognize, like, often I'll go through my day thinking, oh, I just need to get home, or I just need to, you know, I just need to sit on the couch and, you know, read through social media, or I just need a break. But to recognize that in those moments when I say, oh, I just need X, or I just need Y, what I really need is connection, right? And then that's actually what I need to do. It's actually, I can't do it self. Actually, I just need to have a talk with Jess and whatever situation that I'm like stressed out about or whatever. It's not that the situation has to be fixed. I just actually need conversation.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes, I need to start saying that to myself and just pretend that it's real. Because I guess she... Well, what we'll find out later in this episode is that she does say that that's real.
Hmm.
But do you ever find that, like, that kind of requires courage? I don't know. For me, like, connection requires courage. Like, she says in the last chapter that courage often requires letting go of what people think. And I really struggle with that. Like, I definitely care too much about what people think. I don't know how to just turn that off. Like, if I'm in a mood where I don't care what people think, it's not a good thing. Like, it means I've hardened towards people and, like, pretty much basically resolved to ignore them. So how do you think we stop caring what people think, like, without being a sociopath? Like,
yeah, so I would just say, I don't think she's saying I don't care what people think, or you shouldn't care what people think. Is that you need to let go of what people think, right? Right? If you just straight up, like, I don't care.
Yeah, that's
right. Mean. That's kind of rude towards, like, the other person. Yeah. Even, like, right? To say, I don't care what anyone thinks of me. It's like, well, no, it's not that you don't care, but you're able to let it go.
Right. Okay. Right? Yes. That makes so much sense. You're smart.
SMRT.
I feel like a weight off my shoulders, because I can envision letting go, but I can't really envision not caring. I care too much. Anyways.
Hmm. Yeah. And it's good to care, because it's good to care about people, right? But not to let their thoughts of you have, like, huge power in your life, right?
Yeah.
It's to kind of be able to, well, forget about what they think.
Have you done therapy? Because it sounds like you have. Certainly have.
Yes.
Sorry. Maybe that's
We have both
done therapy. Yeah. Things that I often...
And we've set aside savings for our kids.
We're basically... I realized this today. I was thinking about this. That we're basically publishing therapy for each other right now.
I guess so.
I mean, for free.
Yeah, sure.
It feels like
I mean, if that's entertaining to people, sure. Put it on the internet.
Like, we're like a bear falling out of the tree.
You put it on the internet, someone will listen to it.
It's true. People are... Apparently.
No, we love our listeners.
All six of you.
Anyways. courage, compassion, connection. So
how does she define that? So, let's see. Courage, she says it is, like, she says we need original courage. And that is...
Original or ordinary?
Sorry, yeah, ordinary.
Okay.
In her research, like... Just a reminder, this is all from research. So she says the root of the word courage is core. Thanks.
Courage?
Yeah, that makes French. Sense. But she, like, says in Latin.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Heart.
Yeah.
And one of its earliest forms, the word courage, had a very different definition, which it meant to speak one's mind by telling one's heart. And then over time, it changed to this idea of being heroic.
Mm.
So... She says we need courage.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, heroic courage is, like, you know, going into battle and risking your life.
Mm-hmm.
But more ordinary courage, right, it's like you risk your arms and your legs and your life and limb, you know, is heroic courage. But ordinary courage, the way she defines it is heroic courage is... I wrote it down here. Heroic courage means putting your vulnerability on the line. Right?
Yeah.
So...
ordinary...
So that's kind of letting people... see where you're, see your weakness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can, I have a story about that recently.
Oh, yeah? Okay. I'm listening.
It's actually...
There might be as many as 7 people listening right now.
It's true. But one of them, I think, will be the person I'm talking about in this. So the same person in the last 6 months, I've had to experience this with. One time, I just was really feeling isolated and I needed a friend. And a lot of my friends have lived a little bit farther away. Like, I mean, a little bit of a drive. But anyways, I was like, we were going to connect on a Saturday. And then I was texting her because we hadn't set up a time. But I, like, really needed a friend. And she wasn't answering. And there was that, like, awkward, like, is she ghosting me? Like, why isn't she answering? And I was feeling all, like, awkward about it. And then I realized it's, like, 8 in the morning and she's probably sleeping in like a regular person who doesn't have children.
Who wake up roughly 6:45.
Us? What?
No, our kids.
Our kids, yeah. Which is not bad us, compared to other people. But anyways, so, you know, I'm just, like, trying to not freak out, even though, anyways, being totally, like, weird. Trying to, like, pass time and just give her a chance to be, you know, a regular person. And then I just decide I'm going to call her because that's also what a normal person would do, pick up the phone and call. But it was actually really hard for me to call her. To call and be like, okay, I've been texting you, but I'm trying to continue to pursue this friendship because I really need it right now. And that was really hard for me. And then, like, a few months later, she offers to help clean my house because our life has been just a, I don't want to say a dumpster fire, but, like.
Actually, it you know what? Our life got better last week, right? That when we went
after
to a regular.
After she came and cleaned my
bathroom. Well, that was like 3 weeks ago that she came when things were going really rough. So I'm just realizing this, that life got better
when,
like, 2 weeks ago.
World.
No, like, and so we got the kids back to daycare on ordinary and Timmy got his helmet and then. We had Monday went well, Tuesday went well, Wednesday went well, Thursday, everything started falling apart all across Quebec. So, and then Friday, a lot of lockdowns started. So,
So we've had all of what, 4 days of a relief from our crazy last few months. Yeah. Anyways, we have had a very difficult few months and our friend offered to come over and be like, can I help? Let me just, like, clean your house and I'll have somebody help you with the kids. And I just was really struggling with accepting it because I knew that she was going to come and see my gross bathroom. And that was really hard for me too. And I just decided to have courage and let her see that. That's hard. But we're growing in depth of friendship now because she's seen my disgusting bathroom.
This is true. I was nodding my head. I guess I remember that this is a video. Yeah.
So that's courage, the strength of heart. And the next one she explains is compassion. So she says compassion comes from the Latin. Is that like cum? Cum and
passion. I never took any Latin. No.
So that translates as
passion. That must be love, right?
Patty.
Oh. Okay.
Cum patty. I don't know. Okay. Which translate as to suffer with.
Oh, okay. Like the Passion of the Christ. Okay.
Oh, okay. Sure.
We're learning.
This
is the podcast for kids that can't read good or do other things good either.
It's Latin, whatever. So when I read that, I was just like, that is not what I think of as compassion, to suffer with. Like, I think of it as kind of being tender towards someone who's going through something difficult, I guess, is maybe how I would say it. But hers sounds more like empathy.
Okay. Sure. Many people have explained to me the difference between sympathy and empathy, and
I can
never keep it straight.
I know, it's confusing.
Just know that, like, one is better than the other.
I know, and
so don't do the bad one.
Don't do the bad one, whichever one that is.
But compassion, compassion's good, right? She doesn't have multiple definitions of compassion. Yeah.
But she is saying it means to suffer with.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one thing that she said was, like, that compassion is not a relationship between the healer and the wounded. It's a relationship between two equals.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's, you can have compassion on someone when you can see your own weakness, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, you're always kind of talking down to people.
Yes. Yeah, which you might not realize. You think you're having compassion, but it ends up being kind of, like, weird for the other person.
Mm.
She talks about shame a bit, like, I can't remember if it's this chapter or the previous one, where she kind of talks about how, like, or maybe it's right here, when you are, yeah, it's right here, when she's, like, when you're speaking to somebody not as an equal, like, it actually can lead them to feeling kind of, like, ashamed a bit. Because, yeah, you're, like, you're, when you're trying to be, like, no, it's not that bad, like, when they feel worse than you do, and you're, like, wait, this is weird, like, anyways, so I think that, so it's like, it's not a one up, one down relationship. It's between equals.
Hmm. Yeah.
Which I think, like, now that I have a better understanding of myself, I realize I used to do that to people all the time. Or at least, I don't know, maybe it's just that I can show, if we're not peers, I will not show myself in a certain way, but if we are peers, it'll be really hard for me too.
That's true. Yeah, although I think I've just realized too, like, I think some of this, maybe some of this is because we've read good books, but some of it is just also just growing up and, like, just the normal process of growing up. And I think especially since I feel like since I turned 30, that I just stopped caring less about being the smartest person in the room or the, you know, like, the most successful person in any situation. And it makes it a lot easier to talk to people. Yeah. Because you're not trying to prove anything. And
I don't think I've got there yet.
Oh. Well.
Well, I realized that, like, I'm the person who talks a lot, as you might notice in this podcast.
Hmm.
But even in, like, if I'm in a group
setting. I have noticed
that,
actually. I'm joking.
In a group setting, like, I realize that I'll sometimes I'm the first to talk because I know it's just, it'll make everybody feel more at ease if somebody just breaks the silence. But other times it's like, because I really think what I have to say is very important. Hmm. And I realize that that's kind of just, like, egotistical.
Hmm.
That it's like, I can't just be quiet. Like, even I find this, I'm talking too much, in, like, a Facebook group, it's like somebody's like, hey, I need some advice. And I'm like, I feel like it's really important that I give my advice to them.
Hmm.
I need to just chill out and be like, not my monkey, not my circus. That's it. It's my new favorite sentence.
Not my monkeys.
So.
Jumping on the bed.
Related to this compassion and to suffer with, she also quotes this, I really should have looked up this lady who I cannot read her last name. Chodron, maybe.
Yeah.
So she talks about, like, our, Brené Brown says, I don't believe that compassion is our default response. I think our first response to pain or someone else's is to self-protect. I feel very seen.
Hmm.
And she says, we protect ourselves by looking for someone or something to blame, or sometimes we shield ourselves by turning to judgment or by immediately going into fix-it mode. I'm the fixer. I'm totally the fixer. Or the joker, right? We joke a lot.
When we do just, joke a lot. We joke. So that's, I mean,
if we're cracking jokes, yeah, it's probably because we're like, this is awkward.
Yeah, that is true.
So then she has this, like, little sidebar on about boundaries. And she says, one of the greatest and least discussed barriers to compassion practice is the fear of setting boundaries and holding people accountable. I know it sounds strange, but I believe that understanding the connection between boundaries, accountability, acceptance, and compassion has made me a kinder person. And she says, like, what she learned is that compassionate people are boundaried people, that the heart of compassion is really acceptance.
Hmm.
And if we really want to practice compassion, we have to start by setting boundaries and holding people accountable for their behavior, which is, like, I feel like I need to read this over and over because I don't really see the connection between those two things, but, yeah. How do you, like, do you see the connection?
I guess I would see it boundaries even recognizing my own limitations that I can't actually solve people or solve their problems. And so, you know, if they're coming to me for something that I can't help them with, I need to help them recognize that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's kind of like the only fair thing to do. So, yeah. You know, if someone is consistently coming to me, I don't know, maybe asking for money, but what they really need is they need to just have a better relationship with their boss, you know, and learn how to keep a job. Like, that's actually what they need help with, right? And so then understanding what they really need, I can say, well, actually, I'm going to do the compassionate thing. I'm not going to give you more money here. Let's talk about, like, working through some of your issues so you could...
Yeah, that's one idea about boundaries. I guess here she explains a little bit, like, she talks about the relation between shame and blame and how we used to, like, we use those things to try and direct people's behavior. So, like, I guess an example would be as a boss, she says. So, like, rather than actually giving them a formal write-up, they just try and, like, penalize the employee through, like, blame or shame or something like that. Whereas if they just set a healthy boundary of, like, actually doing the thing that HR says they should do, then, which is harder, it's more work.
Yeah.
And it's a hassle, but it actually brings out the desired response in a better fashion than blame or shame, because those are icky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I don't want to talk about kids too much, but at the end of the day, we're their parents, but we're teaching them to be responsible for their own behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so as they get older, they're going to do more and more things that are beyond our control. And obviously we want to shape their character so they do things that we like. Have to recognize that, well, it is their decision to do right or wrong, you know? And so we can kind of set the track for them to ride to go along, and especially when they're little, I mean, we're going to correct them very quickly if they're, you know, doing something wrong. But the goal is actually that they would learn how to regulate their own emotions, or that they'd learn how to do the right thing when it's hard.
Yeah.
And then that they would choose that on their own, right? It's not that they just do what we want, it's that they learn to do what is right.
Sometimes I just want them to do what I want, though. That's real talk.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so, but later here, I think this is also what's helpful, is because she says, when we fail to set boundaries and hold people accountable, we feel used and mistreated. And this is why sometimes we attack who they are, which is far more hurtful than addressing a behavior or a choice. So that's just kind of like, yeah, it's like, talking about how we avoid pain and stuff like that, and that's why we do that.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah. So last one. So it's courage, compassion, and then the final one is connection.
Yeah.
It's the final gift of imperfection, right?
And so this is the quote. When I read that one.
Oh, that's long.
Yeah.
Well, but I guess maybe the connection, her definition of connection is essentially the energy between people when they feel seen, heard, and valued.
Right.
So it's connection is when you're with another person and you feel more yourself, I think. And whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, I feel like hopefully you always have people where it's like you feel like you maybe come alive with them.
Yeah.
And it's the people. If you're an introvert, it's the people you feel like you don't have to say anything to. If you're an extrovert, it's the people that you feel like you're very loud with.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. So that's kind of connection. Maybe just relevant here, there's a quote. It says, as we think about the definition of connection and how easy it is to mistake technology for connecting, we also need to consider letting go of self-sufficiency. One of the greatest barriers to connection is the cultural importance we place on going it alone. Somehow we've come to equate success with not needing anyone. Many of us are willing to extend a helping hand, but were very reluctant to reach out for help when we needed ourselves.
Yeah. I thought that was like...
It me. Yeah.
It me. Yeah. It me. Yeah. Going it alone. Yep. That's me. Not needing anyone. Yep.
Hmm.
Yep. 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 It's like a very individualistic culture kind of thing, but...
Yeah, or wanting to have things sorted out before we bring someone into a situation. Mm-hmm. Or have, yeah, rather than bring them in early when it's still confusing and difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of that chapter. It kind of just introduces a few more concepts.
Yeah.
With the goal of trying to move towards wholehearted living, of being like all in our life.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's... Yeah, and I guess let's say one final thing here. She says, to practice courage, compassion, and connection, it's to look at life and the people around us and say, I'm all in.
Mm, that's nice.
Yeah. So join us next episode.
Next night. We're doing these
every night. This is kind of like we're staying up really late. It's kind of bad. exploring the power of love, belonging, and being enough.
Yeah.